Some of us read obituaries. Attention must be paid, as Arthur Miller once wrote. And we're especially drawn to the younger faces. What happened? There was a photo recently of a smiling 20-something, Michael Cohen, a graduate of Pomona College, fluent in Mandarin, we read. He moved to Beijing, ultimately visited 27 countries. He'd then come home, fallen in love, the same solidly grounded and engaged person he'd always been. Then, we suddenly read, in December, he slipped into a depression and took his own life, one with so much accomplishment and promise, his death completely unexpected, a shock to everyone who knew him. We read all this because his parents and three siblings decided to share it, something they know may not be for everyone. We asked them last month to talk about why it was right for them, but they could barely speak. It was too raw. It's not that much easier now, but Michael Cohen's parents are here. Carol Cohen, hello.
Hi.
Nice to see you. And Stephen Cohen, hi to you as well.
Hi, Robin. Thank you.
We're a few weeks on. Stephen, start with you. Why talk about this?
We're convinced that Michael's suicide was preventable. Even though some depression was visible, there was a level below the surface that he wasn't sharing. And I think we feel pretty strongly that if you can eliminate the stigma and make it possible so that people are free to talk about what's really bothering them, that you'll save a lot of lives, and you would have saved Michael's life.
Yeah. And Carol, we've been doing some other reading. Julie Hirsch wrote in Psychology Today. She also had a suicide, her husband, and she did not say the word suicide because what if people think that as his wife, I maybe, you know, made him do it. I let him down in some way. And she pointed out other people maybe don't say it because some life insurance policies won't cover it or some faiths won't bury the person. And you're also in incredible pain when you're thinking this through. Mm-hmm. What were some of your worries, if you had any?
Well, we are incredibly proud of Michael and who he was as a person and everything that he accomplished in his life, especially the quality of his relationships that he had with other people. And we didn't feel that there was anything to hide about the circumstances of his death. Mm. We didn't even really discuss should we not include it. Mm. I think we just assumed we would.
Don't you think? It was, I'm so incredibly proud of Michael, and I really admired him as a person. And why hide it? That was part of him, you know.
This was so compelling to read, because you go on to say, since Michael's death, many have written about how special he was. They recall how he served as a leader and mentor for Jewish students in college, a role model. They marvel at his encyclopedic knowledge of music. I mean, the point you're making here is that this didn't define his life.
No, this was a temporary. You know, one of the lines that I've heard, and I'm sure lots of people have heard it, to describe suicide is that it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And that line kind of haunts us because there's really nothing. Michael had some depression, for sure. You don't do this if you don't have depression. But also situational factors. We've sort of described as the perfect storm.
Right. There were layers of events that happened at the same time at a moment that was particularly vulnerable. And it was really the concealment that killed him.
Others have written about this as well in the online health magazine The Mighty, an article, How It Felt to Read My Husband's Obituary Without the Word Suicide, because Charlotte Maya, the writer, did not use it for fear that it would, you know, her husband would be judged. But if you don't use it, then you're not conveying to people that it's a real disease, but also maybe reaching someone who might be having those same thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Michael was not at all the stereotypical suicide victim. He was not a drug addict, an alcoholic. He didn't have childhood trauma. He didn't have a long history of depression. He wasn't estranged from us. He didn't spend like the last 6 months in a dark room. He got up every morning and got dressed and took a shower. And, you know, we were certainly not on suicide watch for him.
No. What's been the response, Stephen?
Well, there are a lot of responses. So one, in the community where we lived, so many people have said to us that if this could happen to Michael and to the Cohen family, we need to go home and check out on our own kids because maybe nobody's safe. And we've had a lot of people talk to you, and they tell you things that they wouldn't have told you before. So lots of people telling us about worries about depression in their own kids, and lots of people who've tried, either attempted suicide or come very close to it, and have come to us, and they want to share their story. And I think they want to share their story. It's interesting. The common denominator of their story is that they somehow made it known, even though they didn't want, in many cases, the treatment that they got. People are sometimes afraid that if you say something, you'll get a very intrusive treatment. You'll go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Yet when they look back, you know, they're sort of like, thank God that I was intervened with.
Well, I'm thinking too, you know, I can't imagine, this is all unimaginable, but what happens when you're part of a close community and you put suddenly or unexpectedly into the notice, then you don't have that relationship with your friends and your community. They don't know what happened and they don't know the pain you're in.
It's a really interesting question. You're hiding something and you're ashamed and they're a little bit removed from you because of that.
Yeah.
You're dealing with this incredible loss, and the thing you want most is people to reach out to you. And you might not want to talk to them, but knowing that they're there makes a huge difference. And anything that puts a wall in the way of that, I think, is very harmful to your own recovery.
Yeah.
I think you process it better when you're honest about it, and especially when you're not trying to hide anything,
right,
as we weren't about Michael.
Because then you've added that layer of shame.
Right, exactly. And there's no shame to this. There's
right.
tragedy, but there's no shame. But we had a very private funeral for Michael, just family members, about 20 people. And then we had Shiva, you know, Jewish.
Sitting.
And we had a lot of discussion about whether we wanted that because we weren't sure that we could stand being around people. And then it was actually very therapeutic to have all these people and distract, and you realize you're part of a community and realize there's a lot of love flowing your way. It was actually extremely helpful to have people know.
You know, it took us a month to write the obituary, in part because we really couldn't handle it. The level of pain that we were dealing with our own grief that we're still dealing with now, was overwhelming. And I guess putting it out there was helpful, but it also opened us up to a lot of people reaching out.
Yeah.
You eventually have to get it out because we process it every time we talk to someone who doesn't know. You know, and getting it out there, you know, helps that process for us.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, in this age of social media, we've actually had this conversation about, do we put something on Facebook about it? Layers and layers and layers of more people would know about it if we posted something about it on social media. And what that would allow to happen would be for people to process tragic information in private before then seeing us or deciding how to react, as opposed to having to just hear about it if we accidentally ran into them or were in a phone call. And then the other piece is maybe just putting some guidance out there about if you see us or talk to us, it's okay to say something about Michael.
I'm wondering, too, does it maybe even make you feel closer to Michael? Like you're not denying him.
Well, I would hate to deny anything about him.
Yeah.
Because it's not how I feel about him. Yeah, it's an interesting point. I miss him, like, terribly. But I'm not ashamed of him. And so the other thing, you know, I sort of come back to this point that, you know, if you have, you know, Michael would call me sometimes from China and say, I hurt my back or something. He's hiking or whatever. And, you know, we'd have a conversation about, you should go to the hospital. Is there a doctor there? He knew the people who ran the expat hospital. And so he would take care of that. And it should be just as easy to say, you know, something wrong with my psyche. I'm emotionally troubled and I need to see someone.
How are you doing, Carol?
Should I say we're a mess? Sometimes I feel like we're a mess, you know. I mean, this is pretty much the worst thing that can happen. It's going to be a really long time before we figure out how we live our lives.
I mean, you're part of a new club, and people talk to you about things and in a way that you never expected.
We've been really struck by that. Like, people will call us up and say, I have to talk to you.
Well, and they wouldn't have known that you'd want to listen unless you did this. Yeah.
We got a call yesterday from one of Michael's very good friends, and he had written in an email to me that he was he had depression. He didn't understand that Michael did, and he wished they'd been able to talk. And I think he's been stewing about this for a month because he emailed a couple of days ago and said, I have to talk to you guys. And that's when he told us he'd had a suicide attempt and he'd been institutionalized. And he's made his way back. He's married and he's got a good career and he's on solid ground. And, you know, there are probably a lot of people out there like that, you know, who are harboring this. And they can only talk to someone like us about it because we can understand it. But it would be so much better if everyone could understand it.
Right. Stephen and Carol Cohen, their son Michael, died by suicide, and they revealed that in his beautiful obituary. Thank you so much for talking about it with us as well. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.